application on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and salutations of Allah upon all of you on Eid al-Fitr. Congratulations to all brothers, sisters, Muslim brothers and sisters on the auspicious Eid al-Fitr. today. Thursday is the first of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Ordibehesht, 1400 of Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of the month of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, accept our congratulations on Eid al-Fitr.
Ramadan has come and gone, Eid has dawned upon us. Thank you, Allah, for this blessing day. It's a time of happiness, a time of joy. Thank you, Allah, for this blessing day. Eid al-Sa'id, Yom al-Farhan.
Meaning and significance of Eid al-Fitr. Let's listen more about it. Dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is not only about refraining from food and drink, but it's also about abstaining from evil thoughts, evil words, and evil actions. What makes Ramadan special is that these acts of devotion are done collectively. Everyone is fasting, praying, and trying to get rid of their bad habits. It creates an atmosphere where one is encouraged and supported to become a better person. However, what also makes Ramadan special is that it is only 1 month. Had it been more than that, it would lose its uniqueness. It is a short but high-intensity month of changing your life. Because Ramadan is a month of refraining from eating and drinking during the daylight hours. Eid is about celebrating the hard work. During Eid, Muslims are prohibited from fasting and therefore must eat and drink. Congratulations on Eid al-Fitr, one of the greatest Eid and auspicious day of all Muslim brothers and sisters all around the world.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi Nassim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with Eid al-Fitr, which is sometimes referred to as the Lesser Bayram in some English reference books. The Eid al-Fitr is the Eid for is one of the great Eids or feasts in Islam, and it occurs at the end of the month of Ramadan. In a way, it must be indicated that Eid al-Fitr is the Eid or feast for those people who have been successful in fasting throughout the month of Ramadan and being very much attentive to the religious deeds and rituals. The month of Ramadan is called Ramadan because in it the sins of sinners, the sins of believers, are wiped out in effect of fasting. And since this fasting, I mean, is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sake of the divine pleasure, it's referred to as Eid as or as feast. Lexically, the word Eid is used in the Holy Quran only once in this Quranic verse. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma Rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan min as-sama' takunu lana 'eedan li awwalina wa akhirana. O God, may you pour to us meal from the heaven so that it will be Eid, feast for us and for both for us and for our posterity. This Quranic verse is in the Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 114. However, in the Islamic religion and according to Islamic instructions, feast or Eid has received various definitions. According to Imam Ali alayhi salam, whenever or every day that no sin is committed, that day is regarded as an Eid or as a feast. And since in the whole month of Ramadan, believers, I mean Muslim believers, have been fasting for a whole month, I mean in daytime fasting, and usually at night time people are concerned with reciting the Holy Quran, or for example being attentive to other rituals. It's called an Eid or a feast for Muslims.
Feeling so good, smiles and greetings everywhere. Eid Mubarak to everyone out there. Whole families, they gather and celebrate. Today's the day, so come on, no time to waste. Sometimes the world takes us so far, though miles apart. Today you're in my heart.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr and thanking Allah. Eid al-Fitr is related to a month of blessings because it is on this day that restrictions of the preceding month are lifted. Unfortunately, in some places, this resumption of the normal activities is misinterpreted as a license to indulge in activities prohibited in Islam, like gambling. Fortunately, such trends are not common yet, but such people should be made to understand the significance of Eid al-Fitr. Religious observances of the Eid al-Fitr are designed to offer thanks to Allah, and He, Allah, help us in accomplishing the aim of the month of Ramadan. Surely it would be an affront to Allah if anybody, after thanking Him for completing that spiritual training, goes right away sinning against Allah. Had such person known the meaning and purpose of Eid al-Fitr, he could not have indulged in such un-Islamic activities. Dear brothers and sisters, we offer our congratulations on the auspicious day of Eid al-Fitr. Happy Eid!
باركوا يا حباب نور العيد جانا فيه فرحة نبلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدون يا عساهم عايدين.
Imam Zain al-Abidin says, O Lord, Thou hast ordained Ramadan to be one of the most chosen, and Thou hast distinguished it from all other months, and chosen it out of all other seasons and periods, and given it preference to all the times of the year, by having sent the Quran and the light of the guidance in it, and by having increased the faith, and by having enjoyed the observance of fast in it, and by encouraging us to stand up for prayer at night, and by placing in it the glorious night of Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. Therefore, in accordance with Thy command, we kept fast in its days, and with Thy help we stood up for prayers in its nights, presenting ourselves by means of its fasts and prayers for Thy mercy, which Thou didst offer to us.
So happy about on the day of Eid? Why is it even an Eid? For some people, simply put, frankly, because they're tired of fasting. They're happy that they no longer have to fast, and finally they can have breakfast, they can have lunch, and they can do all the other things that we're not allowed to do when we fast. So that's why they're so happy. No more fasting. They can't wait to eat during the day. And thus it's a day of happiness and joy for them. But obviously that's not the real reason why a believer should be happy on the day of Eid. It's not because they can finally eat again. In fact, I know many mu'mineen and mu'minat, the night after the day of Eid, they have mixed feelings. Because yes, they're happy it's a day of Eid, but they are also depressed, they're sad. Because the most beautiful month of the year has just finished. And they feel a void inside them that the month of Ramadan used to fill. With all its spirituality and God-conscious nature, the beautiful du'as of the month of Ramadan, the iftars that we used to have, the lectures, the recitation of the Quran, just the environment of Ramadan is completely, the atmosphere is completely different. And they miss those days so much. And thus they have mixed feelings. They're depressed on a night like this because Ramadan has come to an end. The greatest month out of the year. And fasukum fihi tasbih, wa nawmukum fihi ibadah, wa amalukum fihi maqbul, wa du'aukum fihi mustajab. All these beautiful effects that we have in Ramadan, these beautiful favors from Allah, that when we sleep and breathe, Allah counts it as ibadah, He answers our hajat, and He accepts our a'mal. This beautiful month has come to an end, and thus they have mixed feelings.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. And again, we express our congratulations on one of the great Eid of Muslims, Eid al-Fitr, Eid Mubarak.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets. Their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed. This is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed. For this is the day of
Food for Thought.
Salam and heartiest felicitations to you all on the occasion of the blessed day of Eid al-Fitr, on which the faithful gather to offer the grand congregational prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord Most High for having enabled them to observe the fast of the month of Ramadan. Here is part of the Qunut supplication recited during the Eid prayer. O Allah, Lord of magnificence and greatness, and Lord of generosity and overwhelming power, and Lord of pardon and mercy, we implore you for the sake of this day which you have decreed a festival for Muslims and for Muhammad and his progeny as a reminder, a distinction, an honor to bless Muhammad and his progeny and admit me to all the bounties to which you have admitted Muhammad and his progeny and keep me away from all evils from which you have kept away Muhammad and his progeny. May your blessings be upon him and his progeny. I beg of you of the best which has been asked for by your virtuously good servants. And I seek your protection from all those evils from which your sincere servants have sought your protection.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost.
us for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In some countries, today is the day of Eid, wherever you may be. If this is the day of Eid for you, my congratulations and my felicitations to all brothers and sisters who on this day are celebrating Eid. And if you are in a country that it is not Eid yet, use this opportunity. This is the last time that you may be able to, you know, extract blessings from the banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take advantage of the last day of the holy month of Ramadan. Do not be like us. Well, normally what we do is that we are waiting for the iftar on this day so that we know that from tomorrow we don't have to fast at all. You know, for another whole year we can party. You know, we can stuff our faces. No, this is a time and an opportunity. One more time. You know, unfortunately some people, well, in most countries you have that, you know, that debate or that confusion of is tomorrow Eid, is tomorrow not Eid, has the moon been sighted, has the moon not been sighted. You know, some people when the moon is not sighted, like, oh, one more day. You know, we should be alhamdulillah, I have one more day to appreciate and to extract blessings from this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me another opportunity in order to fast and in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the acts, one of the most important things that we can do on this night, if tomorrow is the Eid for some brothers and sisters, and if today is the Eid for others, this inshallah should have been done last night or in the night. Inshallah, if it was not done, next year inshallah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever stays up the night of Eid and does ibadah, does night vigil, basically stays up the entire night until fajr. And obviously he then, you know, does his fajr, goes to sleep for a little while, and then wakes up for the Salatul Eid. If a person does that, the heart of this person, not again, we don't mean the physical heart, that spiritual heart that is the source of humanity, the source of a human being, we call it qalb, we call it ruh, many different names for it, you know, you can interchange the words. But this individual who does this on that particular day when all of the hearts will die, basically the Holy Prophet is saying on the day of judgment when such fear will come over the hearts of people that they will not be able to bear standing on that particular plane. This person who kept the night of Eid alive in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart of this people, the heart of this person will remain alive, will remain beating. He will have no fear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of these individuals who on the day of judgment will see the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have no fear and just be pure joy on that day. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure.
This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
أدعوتك ربي بقرآنك
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran. Meanwhile, we will listen to some quotes of the late Imam Khomeini about the Noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and I, Mahdi, ask you to stay tuned. According to Imam Khomeini, the important thing is that Muslims act according to Islam and the Quran. Islam embodies all that relates to the cultivation of human values, as well as matters concerning man's life in this world and the hereafter. Concerning the Holy Quran, Imam Khomeini has said, "The great problem of the Muslims is that they have shelved the Holy Quran and have come together under other banners." Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Ra'd, verse 16, recited by Shaykh Abu Al-Aynayn Shu'aysha. Let's enjoy it.
قل من رب السماوات والأرض قل الله قل
أخذتم من دونه أولياء
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to Surah Ra'd, verse 16, by Shaykh Abul Aynain Chaisha. Now we want to analyze this verse in terms of the rules of Tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Okay, we have idgham of Nun Sakina into the letter Ra in the phrase مَنْ رَبُّ. As you can clearly see, we don't pronounce the Nun Sakina at all. Instead, the Nun merges into the next letter, which is Ra, and makes it Mushaddad. And of course, this is idgham bila ghunna. This is idgham without nasalization. So we don't nasalize the ra. Mar rabbu samawati wal ard. Now, in the phrase rabbu samawat, we have a sun letter after the alif lam in the word as samawat. So the lam is not pronounced. Instead, the sun letter becomes mushaddad. On the contrary, in the word al-ard, or the phrase wal-ard, the lam sakina is pronounced because there is a moon letter after the lam sakina. So there's a difference between a sun letter and a moon letter. A sun letter makes the lam silent, while a moon letter does not make the lam sakina silent. You have to actually pronounce the lam sakina. Qulillah, the word Allah is pronounced with tarqiq because there is a letter with a kasra before the word Allah. So we don't say Qulillah. We don't pronounce the lam with tarqiq because the letter before the lam of Allah, before the word Allah, has a kasra. It doesn't have a fatha or a dhamma. قُلْ أَفَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِن دُونِهِ We have إِخْفَاف نُون سَاكِنَة, where we get rid of the place of articulation of نُون سَاكِنَة first, then we approximate the place of articulation of دَال, which is the letter of إِخْفَا, and at the same time we make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاء. We have two kinds of mad in this phrase. We have مَدُّ المنفصل مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاء and مَدُّ المتصل أَوْلِيَاء. So the first one, مَدُّ المنفصل, you can lengthen it to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts, while for مَدُّ المتصل you can lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts. لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا. We have idgham of نون ساكنة مع الغنة in the phrase نفعا ولا ضرا. The waw is nasalized because there is a tanween followed by waw, one of the letters of Yamun. Among the 6 letters of Yarmalun, the 4 letters of Yamun have to be nasalized whenever idgham of نون ساكنة takes place into them. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ. The sod of basir is pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim. أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورُ. وَالنُّورُ, the noon of nur is pronounced with shatta and ghunna, because noon is a sun letter and makes the noon mushaddad. أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ. We have several qafs, all having tafkhim at different levels. خَلَقُوا, the qaf has a moderate level of tafkhim. كَخَلْقِهِ, again we have the lowest level of tafkhim for the qaf because it has a kasra. فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ, again we have the moderate level of tafkhim for the qaf because it has a dhamma. just like the first qaf. قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. The ha is mushaddad. We have to make sure that the timing is correct, and it is the longest. It has the longest timing compared to the letters of shiddah and tawassut. Thank you, dear listeners of Arab English Radio, for listening to this segment of the program Let's Recite the Quran. I invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to our program, and we are discussing the issue, or rather the verse number 40 from the 24th surah of the Holy Quran, that is Surah Nur, and we were describing a particular story that has been mentioned under it regarding this non-Muslim sea captain who was at sea. And all of a sudden, his boat got surrounded by dark clouds, by thundering, you know, weather, and this harsh sea, that this captain was so confused of what actually to do. While he's running up and down and trying to find a solution, he sees one of his crew members who was a Muslim, as narrated from, by the story, a Pakistani Muslim, who was reading the Holy Quran at that particular moment. You know, obviously, as a Muslim, he's trying to find solace in something. There's nothing better to find solace in than in the words of the Holy Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, the sea captain asks this individual, "What are you reading? Translate it for me. And what is it that you're reading?" Coincidentally, as the story goes, the brother who was reciting the Holy Quran was reciting Surah Nur and was reciting this verse. Now it's possible that this brother was a hafiz of the Holy Quran, or, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show some of the many possibilities if the story goes inside this verse, that, or like the manifold darkness in a deep sea that covered by waves upon waves, and the darkness of the clouds overhead, and there was just layers and layers upon them. Now this is not the translation of the verse, but the explanation of the verse. So this now person, this captain, is taken aback. He says that this verse of the Holy Quran is explaining our situation right at this moment in time in a manner as if somebody has experienced it. In a manner that a person first hand has been on a boat like us, has been now surrounded by waves like us, has been, you know, under these dark, thick clouds like us, who's been in a situation where they cannot even see what is in front of them. It is that dark, it is that dangerous. And then this person, this captain, goes to this Pakistani brother, and within himself also, he thinks that the Holy Prophet, now it is possible that this person, being in the Southeast Asian Sea, may have come across Muslims and may know about Islam and about the Holy Prophet, that he obviously then knew that the Holy Prophet never traveled by sea. That how can the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bring about such a description like this when he never experienced it, and in such profound manner, such a deep, clear and elusive manner. Therefore, this captain within himself came to the conclusion that this had to have been something that was revealed to him by a higher authority, by, as we would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, how would he have known such a situation when he himself never experienced it? As we know, the Holy Prophet never went on a ship, the Holy Prophet never traveled on the sea, but yet he is able to elucidate such a story like this. Anyway, as the story goes, this person then, you know, became extremely affected by this verse of the Holy Quran and decided to become a Muslim.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also impact our lives in such a manner that we are able to see the reality of the Holy Quran, the revealer of the Holy Quran, and to him who was it revealed to. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Because we are in the month of Ramadan, we wanted to, hover around the questions regarding fasting and Ramadan, but according to Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, well, today is actually the Eid al-Fitr in some countries, and I'd like to extend my congratulations from the whole team, on behalf of the whole team and crew here, in fact, to those people who are, in fact, enjoying their Eid. And it might also be, in fact, the last day of Ramadan in some other countries. Because of this, let's, have a few questions regarding fasting and Ramadan, and especially at the end, inshallah, we'll be addressing the issue of Zakat al-Fitr. Well, let me begin with this question about the countries, in fact, with different horizons than the normal ones, such as the North Pole and the South Pole, or any countries around those areas. All right?
Yeah.
Well, the day, in fact, or the daylight throughout the whole day is not 24 hours. I mean, like, sometimes it happens that, like, 60 months or a few months of night and day.
Yeah.
So what are the Islamic laws regarding that, especially when it comes to fasting in Ramadan?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I wish we had discussed this issue in the early days of Ramadan. Unfortunately, we did not make time to discuss it. But for our audience who are interested in learning the rules regarding ahkam for the next years, maybe these answers might be of some application to them. Let me tell them, and let me tell our audience that if a Muslim lives in a city that has daylight, let's say for 6 months, and darkness during the rest of the month, like for example in some parts of Canada or in some parts of North Pole, there are Muslims living there. It is obligatory for him to act according to the horizon of the nearest city or town, which has regular sunset and sunrise during 24 hours. Okay, there are cities and near the North Pole, let's say, and they have regular sunset and sunrise, so they have to follow the horizon of the nearest city or town or country. And of course, such people should perform his prayers with the niyyah of absolute qurba. Qurba means proximity and nearness to Allah. And as for fasting, of course, he should move during the month of Ramadan. If that's not possible, if it's not possible to act according to, let's say, to the horizon of the nearest city, he should move, let's say, to a city with normal day and normal night so that he can start fasting. And of course,
is it a must, or if they cannot do because of their job, for
example? It's not a must. Of course, if possible, and if his life is not affected badly, he should move to that to such a place. But you know, generally speaking, it's very difficult to move. You know, people who are established in a city or who settled cannot move to such places. And as for countries, let's say, as for countries with, let's say, 23 hours of sunlight or 22 or 21 hours of sunlight and then darkness, of course, such people should observe fast if they can, you know. Like countries like, say, let's say, in some parts of let's say, Switzerland or maybe not Switzerland, maybe Norway or Canada,
right?
They have sunlight for 23 hours. So such people should fast. But if fasting becomes absolutely difficult and unbearable, then the obligation is actually forfeited. It is they are exempted from fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if it is possible for them to do the qadha later, they should do the qadha in other seasons by moving to another city. And of course, it's obligatory for such people to do the qadha if they are actually able to move to another city.
But if they can't?
And if they are unable even to do the qadha, then it's obligatory on them to pay fidya in lieu of fasting or in place of fasting. You know, fidya, that's clear, that's 700 50 grams of food stuff which they should give for each day.
I see. What about those countries, as you mentioned, like Switzerland or Sweden? I had a friend from there,
yeah.
You know, and they were complaining about fasting for such a long time, actually about 22 hours, even sometimes more. So they said that they've got like 22 and a half hours of sunlight.
Yes, yes.
So what can they do? It's too difficult actually to fast for so many hours.
You know, as I said, fasting is obligatory if they have the ability to fast. You know, it depends on a person's ability. Otherwise, if one is unable to fast for 22 hours, then the obligation is, according to Ayatollah Sistani, forfeited. It means you're no longer
fit to fast.
Yeah, you're no longer supposed to fast.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yes.
Okay. Some other quick questions regarding Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa. Well, about swimming.
Yes.
Or diving underwater. Would you tell our dear audience about the Islamic law according to Ayatollah Sistani about or concerning being in the water?
Yes. Well, swimming is permissible and also diving is permissible. And Ayatollah, this is the only issue. This is one of those issues where Ayatollah Sistani's opinion in fatwa differs from the fatwa of other religious authorities. Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that diving underwater and even immersing your head underwater does not make your fast void.
Mm-hmm.
So it is permissible to dive and to swim underwater and keep your head underwater. There is no objection.
I see. Okay, some other quick questions regarding brushing or perfume, for example. Are they forbidden for somebody who's fasting?
Brushing is allowed as long as you're confident, as long as you're sure that no substance from the toothpaste gets into your throat. That's absolutely permissible. As far as perfume is concerned, of course, perfume is mustahab. It is not going to affect your fast and under any circumstances. It's permissible, no matter, even if the perfume contains alcohol, there is no problem. Let me tell our audience and say that alcohol, industrial alcohol, is pure and it's permissible to apply it even while praying. There is no problem, even if the perfume contains alcohol, it's not going to affect the prayer.
What about nasal spray?
Nasal spray is permissible for people who have actually respiratory problem. It is permissible, but one has to make sure that it is ingredients or the fluid, because there's fluid that goes into your nostrils or maybe into your throat. One has to make sure that no substance of the nasal spray goes into one's food tract.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are two passages. One passage belongs to the respiration,
yes,
and the other
bronchial
one
tubes,
and the other one is to the food. Ayatollah Sistani says that one should make sure that the nasal ingredients or substance should not go into the throat.
I see. How about Zakat al-Fitr? What is the Islamic law about Zakat al-Fitr? When should it be paid? And how much?
Zakat al-Fitr is obligatory on a person who is capable of paying zakat. Like, for example, someone who is poor, who is extremely poor, and who struggles with his daily bread, is not supposed to give zakat al-fitr. Mm-hmm. And the same is the case with his children. The children of the poor person who is dependent on that poor individual is not supposed to pay zakat. The amount of zakat al-fitr is 3 kilos of wheat, okay?
Yes.
And if a person wants to give the price worth 3 kilos of wheat, that's sufficient. So it is obligatory to separate and to take out the zakat from one's asset, from one's money, before the as early as in the morning of Eid al-Fitr, and he has time to separate it until midday of that of the Eid day. And of course, a person can give his zakat al-fitr at any time during the month of Ramadan. If someone wants to give zakat al-fitr in the early days or early week, in the first week of Ramadan, it is permissible. And if he wants to give it on the Eid day, it's permissible. But it is obligatory to give it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a poor person in your vicinity or mm-hmm. in your neighborhood, you have to give it to your vicinity. And if you have a relative who is poor, you should give it to that relative.
Yes, you said zakat al-fitr is obligatory for those people who are fasting but not poor, right?
Not for those who
are financially capable to pay the zakat al-fitr. But what about those people who are, let's say, not fasting because of their conditions, probably medical health issues, whatever? Do they have to also pay the zakat al-fitr?
Of course, everybody, every individual, even a child. Of let's say one month child, or a child who's just been born, yes, he has to his parents, his guardian
mm-hmm.
has to pay zakat al-fitr, and of course
whether they're fasting or not. So it doesn't depend on that.
Yeah, zakat al-fitr has to be given in the city and town where you live, and you cannot take it out and send it to another place. Of course, if there is no poor person
mm-hmm.
in your town, you can send it to another town to be given to the poor.
Thank you very much. There are many more questions that I hopefully, God willing, will ask you in the next episodes to come. Thank you very much for accepting our offer and coming to the studio and shedding some light on these questions related to this special holy month of Ramadan. If there is a cream of the crop for everything, if there is a bride for everything, I guess that Ramadan is the cream of the crop, the bride of all months that there are to it in these 12 months. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام.
All you have faith, prescribed for you is fasting, as it was prescribed for those who were before you, so that you may be God-weary.
رمضان زمان الحسنات
رمضان زمان البركات.